can all attest to that message. Praise God. Thankful that we really have come to that place where we can have the experiences that we can attest to God's faithfulness. Let's turn this afternoon to the 12th chapter of Numbers. Numbers 12. And we shall begin with verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. And I want to speak a little while this afternoon on meekness. Just what is meekness? It must be a very important part of our character. It must be something that we actually possess. Not all men do, so I think some men never will, but those who are going to be overcomers must indeed learn what meekness is by experience. We read here in verse 3, Moses the man, or the man Moses rather, was very meek. That was not always so. We contrast that with his aggression in slaying the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. And of course, when he found that was known, then he had to flee himself. And so I want to especially enlarge on the fact or emphasize the fact that for us, for mankind, this attitude must of meekness must be developed. And it is important then again to understand exactly what it is. And by way of summation, meekness is really simply dependence upon the Lord. We find that, notice verse 4. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. When a person is meek, I mean, when one is truly meek, it is God himself who will spring to his defense. It is God who will fight for him. So a person may think, well, I'm meek, and that's what I intend to be, and gentle, and all of these various things. So we're going to find out meekness is not always gentleness. But meekness is always a dependence upon the Lord. And it is always that for which God will defend his own, as we see here in the case of Moses. So Moses is set forth as that man who was very meek. And as we read here, this is quite a statement, above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. That's quite a statement. But again, let us understand it was something that Moses was not actually born with, as we already reiterated. It is something really that had to be worked in him. Now, let us continue on down here and follow through with Moses' experience in becoming and experiencing the very meekness which God is looking for. Let's continue with verse 4. The Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses, noted here, and Aaron and Miriam, and told him to come out, and they did. In verse 5, the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud. Now, let us understand here that This is something that God is doing himself. This is not some kind of a vision. He's not sending a prophet or something of this nature. These are things that God is conveying himself. That tells us how important this matter of meekness is. God himself is giving the instruction and demonstrating these things. And so he came down here in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and again called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came out. And he said, "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I'll speak to him in a dream." Verse 7, "My servant Moses is not so." Moses was placed above and beyond other prophets and teachers and things of this nature. He was singled out by God. That's why it said that he was meek above all that are upon the face of the earth. God singles him out as being an example, a very pattern, so to speak, for meekness. And so he did not treat Moses the way that others were treated. Verse 8, "With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently." Now, we're not going to turn there, but you can compare this with Exodus 33:11. And that's where you really get the meaning of apparently. Because there it says that God spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. Now, we know that he didn't see his face. God said that. He, as you go through that story, you'll find out that he hid him in the cleft of the rock, that is, in Christ, while his glory passed by, and he was shielded, so to speak, from anything that would be destructive. And so he was hidden there. But the point here is that God was in such close proximity to him. As we read face to face, just like a person would speak to his friend, and there was this verbal exchange there. It was not simply in visions and revelations and things of this nature, as happened so many times in the scripture, including Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and so many others. And so here we find with Moses, I'm going to speak face to face with him, just like a man speaks to his friend, even in the verbal context, as we see here. And so Moses understood the words that God had said to him, and God certainly understood the interaction with Moses. So even apparently, not in dark speeches. Notice further the similitude of the Lord. He did not see the fullness of the Lord. He did not see the face of the Lord. It was just a likeness, just a similitude of the Lord, where he knew that there was something special there, something different, something out of this world, something that could not be imitated by men. And so I will speak in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. And then God specifically asked Miriam and Aaron, "Wherefore then were you not afraid?" Notice this. "To speak against my servant Moses." It is a dangerous thing to speak against those who are in this order as Moses was. God had a special order for Moses. He had put him in charge. He had put him in as a leader. And these things that we find here with Miriam and Aaron, I don't think that they were so much concerned about the Ethiopian woman. I think that they were more concerned about themselves, and that they were having to take second place to Moses. He was really the youngest, I believe. He had taken precedent over them, and they absolutely resented the place that God had given to him. It makes no difference who people are. If God has chosen them, it must be acknowledged by the people. And Miriam and Aaron simply had not done that. So much so that in verse 9 you read this, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against them." And this is something you do not want to do, is to stir up the anger of the Lord. But they did. And it does not go unnoticed, and it does not just stop here. Well, he was angry, big deal. Because there is a consequence, there is a result of God being angry, and he certainly let it be known here. Now, notice in verse 10, the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Apparently, Miriam was the one who was leading in this. She was the one who was actually dictating, as it were, to Aaron and influencing him. This is why God singled Miriam out in order for this great consequence to take place. You will notice she was leprous, white as snow. This is God's view of rebellion against his anointed, against his order. She was leprous, as white as snow. Just sin absolutely manifest on her, every part of her, showing forth the sinfulness of what she had done. White as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Well, Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord." You will notice he is not speaking to the Lord. He is speaking to Moses here. Moses, I think, or Aaron, it seems, has really acquiesced here and realized that Moses is the special leader that God has ordained. And so he said to him, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly." It is as though that Aaron thought Moses brought all this about. Well, God actually did. But nevertheless, Aaron seems to acknowledge the place that Moses had been given by God. He said, "We have done foolishly, and we have sinned." Verse 12, "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh in it is half consumed, when he comes out of his mother's womb." This was the way he saw the destruction that was in the body of Aaron and Miriam, and he was trying his best to reverse that, trying to, as it were, get God and Moses to cry out for healing. Well, Moses, verse 13, Moses cried unto the Lord. This is another trait of meekness. He cried unto the Lord in concern for others. He put his own, apparently he just completely forgot anything they did against him. That was no concern to him at all. He was not continuing to blame them. He did not put them under reproach or anything of this nature. His immediate cry was unto the Lord for someone else. And again, he cried unto the Lord. That means he was dependent on the Lord. He knew that the answer had to come from God. There would be no other one to supply that. And that is one of the glorious traits of meekness, is dependence, complete dependence upon the Lord. And so he cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God." You will notice he's urgent about this. He wants this thing to be done completely, immediately. "Hear her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." So Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And notice this, the people journeyed not. This means when a person rises up in rebellion against God's order, against God's way, against what God wants to do, not only affects the person that did it, it affects a whole lot of other people. The whole camp was affected by this. Rebellion is not something that is just pointed to one person and they suffer and that's it. No. Takes its toll on everybody, on the whole body. And so the entire journey here was halted for 7 days until Miriam was brought in again. Verse 16, "And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth, and they pitched in the wilderness of Paran." want to turn now to the 11th chapter of Matthew. Moses is a beautiful expression and shows forth this evidence of meekness, as we have just noted. Jesus also is the very picture of meekness. Matthew 11:29, we read this: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Why? "For I am meek." Jesus is also the example, prime example of meekness. And we need to understand exactly what he did in relation to God, the attitude that he had in relation to God, in order that that same pattern can be repeated in our lives. So take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. That's just exactly the opposite of pride. One is not puffed up in his own self, as was Miriam and Aaron. So I am meek and lowly in heart. And notice the beautiful result of that. You shall find rest unto your souls, coming unto Christ, this lowly one. Now, to repeat, meekness is actually dependence on the Lord, as we have seen. It is bowing before him with a complete trust in him that he is going to do exactly what needs to be done. Notice what Jesus, he says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." He said it this way: "I do always those things that please him." That's the meekness, complete dependence, a pursuit of God's way, a pursuit of what God wants, a complete dependence upon him. "So I do always those things that please him." Now, I want to, we'll not turn there, but I'm sure you remember the story. It's the incident of the tabernacle, when they came to the tabernacle at Passover. You remember that they came to, his parents left without him and then came back and found him there told him that they were so worried about him. And he said this: "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" That's what meekness is, being about my Father's business, a total submission unto him and what he wants and what he desires. That is a meek heart. That's what we saw demonstrated in Moses, and Jesus expressed that and set forth that himself. Now, I said a little while ago that men in general are not born with that meekness. Some may show traits of it, but they're really not born with it. Has to be developed, as it was in Moses. It was different with Jesus. Jesus was born meek. He did not have to contend with the flesh. He didn't have to contend with the old creation. He was simply identified with it. But in himself, that's what he said: "I am meek." That's his very character. And then, as we noted, to prove that, "I do always those things that please him." And then, as we noted here, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" And I fear that some people just stop right there and they don't consider the end of that story, because Jesus actually describes and defines what his Father's business is when he said, "Then he went down to Nazareth with his parents and he was subject to them." That was the Father's business also. And he demonstrated that in his own life by being dependent, indeed subject unto them as unto the Lord. Now, I want to notice something else here. Jesus said, as we noted here, that "I am meek and lowly in heart." Was Jesus meek when he cast the money changers out of the temple? The answer is yes, he was. And the reason that we can say that, and that it is true, he was dependent always upon his Father. And here he sprang to the defense of God's truth. And so he cast the money changers out of the temple. He was still a man of meekness. He was still a man who was dependent completely on the Lord. But, as I said, that doesn't mean that meekness doesn't mean simply weak, so to speak, and letting people run all over you. That's not what meekness is. And so Jesus demonstrated the fact that he was still about his Father's business in casting those money changers out of the temple, letting them know, you are not going to make my Father's house this. He said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. I'm not going to stand for that. And so, yes, still that meek attitude, but completely dependent on the Lord. And then, and God, of course, came to his defense. As he indeed was doing always those things that please him. In closing, I want to bring it down to our own experience. Because today, in our own lives, being aggressive in standing for his truth, we still maintain that attitude of total dependence or meekness upon him. Being meek does not mean that you acquiesce and you accept the things that other people say and do and put forth, not when it's not the truth. The meekness is in the attitude, once again, of complete dependence on the Lord. It is in the attitude that eventually the Lord is going to defend me, just as he did Moses. And, of course, he certainly defended Jesus finally raised him from the dead, as we had in the message this morning. And so we find out that there can be an aggression against that which is absolutely and totally contrary to God's word. We have to evidence that. We have to manifest that. We have to make that known. But our attitude is still total dependence on the Lord, and that he is going to fight that battle. He is one day going to defend us in every sense of the word, just as he did these that we have noticed here. And so meekness, indeed dependence upon him, we must pursue the truth of God's word and maintain that attitude of subjection, submission, dependence upon him. All right, that's as far as we will go this evening. Any questions before we close with a song today?